Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're joined by Wes Kohlhiron. He's the Round County Jailer. And Wes, first of all, thanks so much for joining us today on the program.
Thanks, Chuck, for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I guess you're getting excited right now. You're getting ever closer to moving into a brand new facility, an $18 million facility.
Yes, sir. It's going to be a nice addition. I went and walked around it this week, or actually last week, and they're coming along nicely with it. Couple weeks behind, which I think is pretty good, and if everything keeps going in pace, they're saying sometime in January we should be in the facility.
It's going to be a big change for you guys, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be a big change, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a nice change. We need it currently today. You know, I had 136 inmates in my facility, and I've got 78 beds, so the need is there.
Yeah, this jail that you're in now was built back in the 80s, correct?
1990,
okay.
Yep.
And, you know, it from the outside, it looks like a modern facility. When it's 78 beds, as you mentioned. When it was built, it was probably plenty big enough. But these days, I know you're holding, generally, on a daily basis, over 100 prisoners.
Correct. I was right around 100 in the past couple months. I've been anywhere from averaging mainly from 135 to 150.
150. Wow. Yeah. That's got to be tough.
It is tough. And some of that influx was Bath County was housing their prisoners in Montgomery County. Montgomery County got overpopulated and pretty much kicked Bath County out. So I volunteered to take some of their inmates. I took probably half of theirs. To help them out so they don't have to run back and forth to different jails. It makes it easier on them.
I guess we'll talk about why the jail is so overcrowded, and I know people have read about the drug problem. And these are people not just with drug charges against them. These are people who have drug issues that are trying to support their habits by doing things like theft and robberies and burglaries and things of that nature, correct?
Yeah, correct. I actually had an intern I wish I would have brought that information with me. I'll give you roughly an intern from MSU from the social work department. She worked this semester and got her 400 hours in with me, but she done a little study and went and pulled some files, and it was like close to 90%, 85, 90% were drug charges that are in my facility right now.
How do you deal with all that? And when you talk about having anywhere from 130 to 150 inmates in a place that only is supposed to be holding about 78?
It's a job. It's, you know, there's room for that many people. It's just not so as convenient. You know, it wasn't designed that way. You know, I don't have a lot of trouble out of inmates. You know, when it gets super crowded, you know, you could imagine people's going to get on each other's nerves, you know, and it's going to happen. But for the most part, they know what to expect. They've been there. And most of the inmates like the way our facilities ran. They would rather stay there versus go somewhere else and be a little overcrowded.
You got a good staff, though, that helps you, right?
I do. I have a good staff. All my workers are good. I got several experienced officers there that know what to do when I'm not there or the chief deputy's not there. So I will say that they do a good job.
How many people work inside the jail? Of course, there's yourself and who else?
You have a chief deputy. Then obviously you got a couple office staff. I've got one full-time cook right now, two part-time cooks, then the deputies. There's around 20 of us, 21, 22 right now.
Is that enough in your opinion?
Well, it was. When you get up around 140, 150, it makes it a little tough. But, yeah, we do good with it.
What's a typical day like around the Rowan County Jail, Wes?
For me, for my staff, or you talking
yeah,
inmates?
Yeah, for you and possibly the staff. What's it like there? I know. What time do you come in?
Yeah, I'm usually 8:30.
Okay, so
somewhere in there.
So what happens then?
I usually come in. I check the board when I come in. I go into booking room, check see how many inmates we got, see if I have any issues from the day before or the night before. I'll have to handle them. Then the day begins. You know, it's a job that requires a lot of attention. You know, you have to take care of your inmates. You have to go around and check on them periodically. You have to sign sheets that say you've been there to check on them. Then it's like anything else you imagine. We do laundry, you know, food service. We take them their food, their commissary, if they order pops, snacks, that type of stuff. It's got to be passed out, medical. It's a business, is basically how I try to run it.
I get the impression, and this is from talking to previous jailers, that dealing with the medical side of it may be the most challenging part in some ways, because you've got to be responsible for inmates who need to take medications, and of course you may have several of them, and they may be taking different kinds of medications, different amounts at different times, and things of that nature.
That's correct. You know, we branch out to a company called Southern Health Partners. That's who does our medical. They're their own entity. They kind of run their own show. I oversee them, but you know, they're responsible for all medical, and will that come into effect? I think before I come in term, maybe when Donnie Hall was in office still, he talked fiscal court into letting him hire them, which in my opinion is one of the biggest assets you could have done. It takes liability off your staff and all that, because you let your man. Obviously, my staff are not doctors, you know, and they had a lot of pressure put on them passing out meds, doing blood pressures, doing this and that, you know, and that took that responsibility off of them.
When you talk about the medications and taking care of those medical issues for these inmates, it's a good chunk of your budget, isn't it?
It is. I don't have the exact amount, but yeah, it's costly. It is, but it's not near as much as a $5 million lawsuit. You know, for something's not handled right, if something goes wrong, they're responsible for it. So you know, you put that burden on them per se.
So it's pretty challenging, isn't it?
Yes.
I know that when I talked to Donnie Hall about some of these issues, he said the main thing is sometimes with the medications is just trying to keep the cost down, because the prices of pharmaceuticals continue to go up and they've skyrocketed over the years. And I thought he did a really good job, as a matter of fact, of trying to find ways to get generic drugs and things like that,
right,
as opposed to name brand, which might cost more and cost the county taxpayer
right.
more.
You know, obviously, as you talked about before with the drug epidemic, they are more medical issues. You know, you have more people coming in that are going through withdrawal, or they have Hep C, or they have some kind of other diseases that they've contracted, you know, by the use of drugs. The medical that we provide, the you know, in the payment that we pay the medical company a year, that a lot of their medication comes out of that. There's only certain meds that won't be covered under that we'll have to pay for, which doesn't happen very often.
One thing I know you're particularly proud of is your work release program.
Yes,
Talk
sir.
Talk about that.
Yeah, we do actually do a lot of different work release projects, actually, that I am proud of. I'll name a few. Now, obviously, right now my road crew is out trying to mow the cemeteries before Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully we get them all done, depending on the rain. We've mowed them a couple times this year, so they shouldn't be in too bad a shape. Hopefully we'll get them done. You know, we pick up garbage around the community, which you'd be surprised the amount of garbage and litter there is on the road till you actually get to looking for it. We go to senior citizens' house at Heritage Place once a month and help do food truck. The inmates load food up, carry it out for the elderly to their vehicles. We help at the dog pound. We help at the courthouse, over to parks. We do a lot of things, and hopefully in the new facility, you know, I've just got one really road crew right now. I'm hoping with the addition of the new facility, I can have a couple. I think you could have two full-time crews 24 hours a day picking up trash, and you would never get it picked up. But it is a big help to the community.
How many inmates actually take part in the work release program?
I've probably got close to 10 right now that are out working every day. I've got one that goes to a recycling center every day over to Park, which has really helped them out tremendously too.
It's important for these people who are in this program, isn't it, to be a part of the program?
It is. It gives them some self-worth, in my opinion. And you'd be surprised in today's time how many people don't even know how to operate a weed eater or a lawnmower. So this gives them a chance to actually learn something, learn a trade. And, you know, they do good. They go to the park. They go to recycling centers, as I said, the county garage. They go over there. And, you know, hopefully some of these guys will get an opportunity to maybe have a job when they get out of jail.
So few of the inmates actually get to participate. Is it sort of a badge of honor that they're part of the work release detail?
It is. You have to be classified through the state before you can go out. That's the main key component. It's called a level one. The state will give you back a level, which means you can go outside and work your lower level custody. Not all inmates get that. Usually you have to wait till you get sentenced. So some of them sit there for several months before they're sentenced. But I believe any time you get free labor, it's a good thing.
And people have a tendency to think, oh, there are people out there who are prisoners at the jail. They're out in the public and they're in danger. And really, that's not the case. These are very low level offenders.
Yes, they are very low level offenders. And that's one thing that I've tried my best to do since I've come into office is, you know, these people are in here for a crime they've committed and they've done wrong. And I realize that. But these low-level people get out of the community. I'm trying to work on that stigma between the community and the inmates, that they're not all bad people. They've just made bad choices in their life.
You told me one time when we talked about this is that a big thing that you try to do is to show the prisoners respect. You expect to get that respect in return, but you start with showing them respect.
Yes. I think that's a key component, you know. Not just prisoners, anybody in your life, you know, you need to show respect and self-worth to people. You know, I'm no better than anybody else, and nobody's better than me, in my opinion. You know, and it goes a long way with the inmates. You know, I when they come in, they know the rules, they know what they got to do, they know how they're supposed to behave. If they misbehave, they know there's punishment. If they, you know, but I don't hardly have nearly the trouble, you know, that I've heard of some in the past. You know, we were talking the other day, my guards that have been there for a while, and they were saying, this is about as smooth as it's ran in a long time. You know, they say you're about as calm and cool and collected as it comes when you talk to these inmates, you know, and I don't see no reason to get upset. If I get upset, they get upset, you know, so I think you're better off to approach a man to man or man to female and talk to them and see what's going on and try to help them out.
Well, give people a feel, Wes, of your background and what led you into becoming a jailer.
Well, I started off dispatching at the state police a few years ago. I was a normal kid, I guess, growing up. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I had a couple of buddies that got into law enforcement, and I started dispatching. Then I started working. I would get off at dispatch at midnight, then I'd go from midnight to 8 in the morning at the jail. I was working two jobs, and that led into my police career at Morehead City, which I was there about 7 years. Which I love, you know, that's a great job. I would, a lot of people give law enforcement down the road, but that was one of the best jobs I've ever had.
You like serving the public?
I do. It was a great feeling to help somebody out, you know, and I really enjoyed that.
Well, the fact is you're from this community, so the fact that you get to serve people in this community, that has to be kind of special in its own right.
It is. You know, I knew a lot of people in the community that I helped, and are appreciative, you know, and not even people that were victims of a crime, but people I've arrested that would, and they still come to you, you know, years later or months later and tell you, thank you, you know, you saved my life. You know, I'm sorry if I had said some harsh words to you that day, but looking back, you did me a favor.
What do you like about being jailer?
I like helping people more than anything, as we just discussed. I like trying to make a difference in someone's life. You know, it means something to me. I understand that I can't help every single person. I wish I could. But if there's, you know, one or two that I can help and get on the right track, you know, it makes me feel like that my life is complete, that I've done what I'm supposed to do.
Is this something that you'd like to continue for a long period of time? Or
yeah, I really enjoy it. It's something I feel like that I'm good at. You know, I get along with people and the inmates pretty well, you know, and the enjoyment factor out of it, like I said, you know, if I can help them or I see their families, I see a smile on a mom's face when she comes in, you know, that her son has been helped, or we help them get them into rehab, or we help them get a job or anything like that, the satisfaction is overwhelming.
Again, our guest today on Front Page, Rowan County Jailer Wes Coldiron. We'll take a brief break. Be back with more in just a moment.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Again, we're joined by Wes Coldiron. He's Rowan County's jailer. Wes, we talked about the new jail, which opens up. It's expected to open up anyway in January. You'll be going from 78 beds to 275 beds, a much bigger facility. What challenges do you anticipate in moving to a bigger place?
Overall, I don't think the inmates will be that big of a strain, you know, moving them up there. The transition will be smooth, I think. My biggest goal or my biggest issue I see will probably be staff, hiring good staff. You know, it's going to take several more staff members and getting qualified people in that'll do a good job. You know, working out of jail is a different kind of job. Not just anybody can do it. You know, you got to have a certain demeanor about yourself to come in and work in a facility like that.
How many more people do you think you need?
I'm going to look around. I've done some figuring on it there. Probably 10 to 15.
Okay.
And almost, total.
That's almost, I want to say, double the size of what you have now for a staff, but
close.
Two-thirds, you know, yeah. About a 67% increase.
Correct.
You know, so, you know, and with a facility that size, you know, I drive by it every day on my way home. And I was kind of looking at it. Of course, it's shaped differently. It's laid out differently. You've been through it. And I guess the main thing is to get your staff in it as quickly as possible and get them familiar with the lay of the land.
Right. My goal is, you know, if we open in January as projected, you know, I've discussed in fiscal court, we've all discussed it. I think maybe start hiring new staff in maybe November to try to get them trained on how we do things, maybe through the old jail. And at that time, the new jail will be coming probably more usable. I can take my staff up there and do some different training issues and different things and look at different issues that we could face.
Even though the place will probably be filled with, you know, we said 275 beds, and it'll probably be filled pretty rapidly, at the same time you'll have probably more space to do other things. Will that be a help to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I know some issues that people have said are concerns to me is concerns of filling the jail up, which I don't think will be an issue. Like I said, I've got almost 140 inmates right now. Bath County's got another probably 15 in Winchester. They had to move there, which puts you up to, you know, you're getting close to 200, you know, already. And I've talked to my DOC, the Department of Corrections Inspector, and she said there's over like 1,500 state inmates that sleep on the floor every night in facilities because jails are so full. That it shouldn't be, you know, no problem getting these inmates and getting this jail full.
Hmm. Any challenges in bringing people from other counties? And I know you do already have some of that, but you'll have a lot more of it. And, of course, I guess you'll have a lot more state prisoners too.
Yeah, correct. I don't think it'll be a big challenge because I get emails every day from jails wanting to get rid of state inmates because they're so overcrowded. Every jail in the state's overpopulated. I mean, it's kind of saddening, you know, but it's just reality of it. You know, basically all it is I get up with another jailer. They need to send me 5 or 6, 10 inmates. We hook up, and I go pick them up, bring them back, and they'll be mine. I don't think it's not that big of a job into it.
I'm just kind of curious how the move will be conducted. When you shift from the old jail to the new jail and you have to move all these prisoners over, I guess you do them a few at a time?
Yeah, I think, you know, I haven't really just discussed that a whole lot yet. You know, I think I can get up with the sheriff's department. You know, they got a van that'll move 8 or 10 at a time. And I've got some vehicles that we can move 4 or 5 at a time. So I think it'll be a pretty easy transition.
The jail, for many people, they think of a jail and they think of people who are behind bars and they think of them as being dangerous, but it's a pretty safe place. I get the impression that, I mean, I can't remember the last time anyone walked away from a work detail. I can't remember the last time anyone basically escaped from the Rowan County lockup. I mean,
right.
It's probably happened, but I can't remember it. I've been here now almost 31 years.
Yeah. I couldn't honestly tell you if it's ever happened, not to my knowledge. Not to say it couldn't. I mean, it could happen today. You know, I hope not, but I mean, it's a possibility. But yeah, most of the, you know, criminals we have are low level criminals. Now, that being said, you got to realize that every inmate that ends up in a prison come from a county jail. So, you know, there is some people out there that have committed crimes that will go to prison. And that's one issue that I have now. You know, I've got several that have sentenced to prison. 8, 10, 20 years that these people are looking at, and the prison system's so full they ain't coming to pick them up.
Hmm. So what do you do? I mean, are these people that you keep an extra eye on? Because when you talk about a 20-year prison sentence, this is somebody who's done something pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It all depends on their classification, Chuck. You know, every crime committed or charged they're with has got a different classification where they can be put at inside the facility. You know, if you have murderers are to be with murderers, you know, and that type of stuff, so on and so on. If they've had a violent crime, anything, I would say, as far as hurting someone, you know, if they got in a fight and they beat somebody up pretty bad and that type of stuff, you know, they're all classified together, like with your murders and that type. So, yeah, you do have to keep an eye on them. I mean, but you have to keep an eye on the whole facility. I mean, it's no different, because anybody that has killed somebody is no different than somebody that got pulled over for shoplifting or something. You know, they're all can be dangerous. It just depends on their mood.
Do you have to get to know each one of them, just a little bit about them, to kind of understand who they are, how they tick, and maybe how they might respond in certain situations?
You do, and it's just like normal life. Some people, you have to treat people a little differently. You have to get on their level from time to time, you know. I had a jailer tell me, and it was pretty good advice, when I first took over at our jailer's conference we had. He told me, you know, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. He said, I don't really never want to know what somebody's charged for when they come in my facility. I want to treat them as a human being as I come to know them, and I don't want to look at their charge and get a bad opinion in my head of them. And I don't want to treat them different than I would any other inmate, which I thought was pretty good advice, which I try to do that most of the time.
You're a member of the Jailers Association. I imagine you pick up some tips here and there from those people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great. They were real welcoming, you know. And when I was elected, you go to classes, obviously, but it's like any other in-service classes you have. I've got one coming up actually next week, first week of June. You sit through class all day, but you learn more probably in the evening sitting around talking than you do sitting through 8 hours of class a day, you know, because you hear real life experiences and what these jails are going through and what situations they've been through and what they've done to correct them. So it's good.
Well, what they say is a battle plan is only good until the actual battle starts. And talking to someone who may have been through the skirmishes, you get a better picture of what you might have to deal with in similar situations.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You get you gain a lot of knowledge from the elder jailers. I will tell you that. You know, there's nothing that's been done or hasn't been done that they haven't seen. So it's good to get their opinion. And, you know, I've got two or three jailers that I call once a week probably and get their opinion on something, and they'll tell me what they think, you know, which works out good.
What are your first thoughts about what you want to do when you get into the new jail in January?
My first goal was to get it full, you know, which I don't think, like I said, I don't think I'm going to have a problem with that. You know, I try to, as I said earlier, run it as a business. My goal since I've come in office is to run it as a business. You know, a few years ago, the jail was using, I think it was right around $900,000 a year out of the general fund. I checked on mine the other day, a month ago in April, which I still had April, May, and June. I had 3 months left, but I'd only spent $300,000 out of the general fund. So I try to look at cost-saving measures and try to bring revenue in, obviously to save the taxpayers' money. You know, I look, hopefully I can save, you know, this year when it's over, I will save $400,000 at least to the taxpayers from Rankin County, which I think is
But your job
incredible.
Is to manage.
Yeah, that's right. It's a business.
Wes, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate it.
Again, that's Wes Coldiron, Round County Jailer. Today on Front Page, I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. See you next time.